Well, it's really good for me to be here again and just opening the Word of God this morning with you. I just want you to open your Bibles in Psalm 46. And after just receiving a report from Cuba and from other places that you know around the world, one of the most things that probably everybody can think about is, well, the world is going really bad. That's like the final decision that many of us can just think about. Just looking at how everything is going, like in Europe, wars there, this and that, and the world is going like really bad. But it's really good to have verses like Psalm 46 in our Bibles that remind us that even everything is so bad, there's God who is our refuge and our fortress. And that's something really amazing to have in our Bibles, reminders to us that no matter how everything can be in the middle of all our lives, there's something, there's God, there's the triune God who is with us always and forever. And I always like to sometimes to start with another part of the Bible that can show us an example of how a psalm, if we can summarize the psalm in one piece on another part of the Bible, there's a story from a person in the New Testament that he was in a boat. And all of us, yesterday I was just walking here around with the pastor and the deacon, and we were just there, and I was talking about the boats there, and every time I see one, I'm like, okay, you have private boats here in the States? Oh yes, we have. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. So I was just looking at everything like that, and there's a story there in the Bible about there was a master in a boat with his disciples, and there was a big storm. And this storm was just going so bad. And in the middle of that storm, all the disciples, they were just going crazy. Just going here, going there, trying to save their lives. And trying to see how to get stability on the middle of that big storm. But the biggest part came in that passage where all these disciples, they then remember that somebody was there. And every time I talk to my kids that story, and I just go to them, I just go and say, well, and here it was this person sleeping. Here was the master. Big storm, everybody were just going crazy, and here was this master just sleeping. They went there and wake up the master. Hey, don't you see what is going on? Don't you just listen to the report about Cuba and all the other parts? Everything is getting really bad. Are you not afraid of what is going on in this storm? The master just wake up, went there, stand, raise his hand, and this big, big storm came into calm. That's something that every time I just read this psalm or I just go through this, I just always go and say, listen what he said after just bringing into calm everything. He turned to the disciples and he told the disciples, what's wrong with you? Don't you have faith? Don't you know who is with you always? And sometimes we forget all of this in the middle of the world where we are living. And it's really easy for us how we sometimes forget who is with us in that boat. We are in the boat of salvation. We are in this life. But we need to remember that God is there. And this was the case in Psalm 46. Psalm 46, something really good on the best way that he started writing everything here is that on the first verse, he starts saying, God is our. But the first two letters, that the first two words that you can find there is God is. What is God for you and for me today? At the time that we just live on this world, what is God for you? It's something that you just sometimes think that is there, but he cannot do something for you is just that he is there, but he cannot drive this world. The first piece in our life is, what is God for us? And sometimes I like to explain it with the best way that Spurgeon did it. Spurgeon said and defined faith. In Spanish, it worked with 3C. So in Spanish, if you just go and think about what is faith, he will say conocimiento, creencia, confianza. Conocimiento, knowledge, creencia, belief, confianza, trust. And Spurgeon defined faith in that way. The more we know about God, the more we're going to believe in him, and the more we're going to trust in God. But something really good is that today we have the special revelation that is the way that God revealed himself to us. On the Bible, we can see everything that God is. He is, and he has everything just there in the Bible that he is. All his attributes, everything that he is. So all the start point for our lives needs to be based in who God is. We need always to start in God. And many times we just start looking into the circumstances. Sometimes we just go and say, well, what about if the boat just break? What about if the water just come into the boat? What can happen if the boat just get into another direction? What can happen if this or that? Well, everything for our lives sometimes start about the boat. And that was the case for the disciples. But the problem is that we need to start on the same way that they start writing this psalm. God is. What is God for you and for me today? And that is like the first question that we need to ask on this Psalm 46. And if you just go and see on the way that it ends, like in verse 10 and 11, in verse 10 it will end saying, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know, you need to know who God is. And many times people in this life are just looking and trying to see how everything is but beside God. And people are not really interested in trying to find or to know more about God. That's why this conference that is starting tomorrow is really good. It's knowing about God. And as Pastor was saying, there's a lot of people just wanting to come to know more about God. And that is something really good because everything in our lives needs to start on the point, who is God for us? If we just have a different view about God, or if God is something like equal to human or something like that, then we're going to lose the point. But it will start saying God is, and then in verse 10 it will finish the psalm saying, be still and know that I am God. We need to know who is God. And everything needs to start there. Then the first verse just go, God is our. Then he is going to talk, what is God for us? God is our refuge and strength. But how can we know what God can be for us if we do not know what God is? We need to know all his attributes, everything that he is. Once you know everything that God is, then you will know what he can or what is he for you. Because if you do not know everything about God, then you will not know what is he for you. And then he can become everything that you want him to be, but not everything that he is. And that's a big problem for today. People are just trying to define God in a way that God is not. And they will start trying to be inventive. God is this, God is that, God is this, and then trying to make parts to God and trying to make God look like something else. But the way that we know God and the way that he shows himself or explain himself on the Bible, it is going to be how we need to know who is God for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is not something that He's going to be something one day, and one day He will help us. No, God is a present help in trouble. God is with us today. God promised to be with us always. Even in the Old Testament, all of these people were doing everything because at the time that the psalm was written, they were just waiting for this Christ that was coming. You know, Genesis 3:15, they were hoping to see Christ, the one who was coming. But even waiting for this Christ to come, they knew that God was with them. How God was with them always? Well, He was in the middle of a fire, walking with them on the desert. He was with them in a cloud. He was with them here and there. He was everywhere. They know and they knew who was God. Because God has been always been revealed. So God is a present help. Therefore, we will not fear. So now we know who God is. Now we know what He is for us. And when we know who God is and what He is for us, then we will not fear. I think in these verses, in this first verse, all the psalm is summarized. When we know that what God is, when we know all His attributes, everything, then we will know what He is for us. And then we will rest in God. We can just finish there the preaching. That's like everything that we need to know. We just need to know that here on this boat were the disciples. There was Jesus with them. And they were focusing their life on the storm and on the boat. And they didn't realize who was with them. And that's why we can understand everything on the rest of the New Testament. Why the apostles and everybody were always trying to make everybody to go and see who Christ was. And why to go and look all the promises that God was given since everything that was written on the Old Testament. Because many of the problems that all the disciples were having in their period of time, it was sometimes they didn't know or focus their lives in Christ. And many of us, sometimes we forget about that. We forget that the one who is ruling the world and the one who has control of everything is God. And He's not something that is going to come one day or He's going to do something one day. No, He is with us now and forever. He's our present help in every one of the problems that we have. And now He's going to start giving us many, many cases for us to understand what God is and what God can do in the middle of everything. He's going to go now and say, though the mountains be moved into the earth of the sea, though its water roar and foam, though the mountains tremble and its swelling, He's now given a lot of circumstances. Sometimes we think that the water is going really bad because we see a car accident, is one person driving, hit another one. Well, two persons driving just collapse. And then we go like, oh, something is moving. Something is going really bad. Can you imagine if you just start looking at a mountain moving and everybody just looking, oh, that mountain is going into the sea. Oh, that's really good. I cannot imagine what it would be looking that on the TV. Just everybody, well, now this mountain is just moving. The mountain decided to move and everybody's really happy. Let's have a party because the mountains are moving. If just with certain problems going on, the world is crazy, I cannot imagine what would happen if something like the example that is telling us here can start happening like right now. What can happen to us if we just see the roof just moving? Or just that pew start to move around? everybody will just go like crazy. Sometimes we just see a mouse just moving and we just go like, oh, and everybody starts screaming or whatever. Just imagine if we just start looking something like this, what is happening on the Psalms start happening in our lives. But here, what we see is they're giving us a really, really big description of a big problem. And then at the beginning, he's saying, God is our refuge, even when you see something like this going on. So if God, sometimes you think that he cannot be with you in a small problem that you have, and your faith goes like, oh, probably God is not with me today because I'm going wrong today. Then imagine if you just start facing or looking something like what is described here in the Psalm. We will lose our complete faith and we probably will try to make something else. But as much as we know about God, then he's going to be something for us. And then knowing God will bring rest in our life. Verse number 4. Now he's going to talk about a river here. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God. If we just go into Genesis, we will talk about a river, and there's a river in the garden. And this river, for us today, a big thing is when it rains. I'm living there in Arizona. Every time rain is coming, everybody's like really happy, because it's like 4 times a year that they will have rain. So for them, it's like raining is a big thing. Well, just imagine that on the days of Genesis, it was not raining. The way for getting fertilized everything and all of that, it was through the river, making all the streams going everywhere, and just the water coming from the sand all the way up. It was not top down, it was from down up. Here is a river. And the description that he's saying is that the streams make glad the city of God. So we see a river in Genesis, it will make glad the garden. Then we can go to Revelation, and what we see in Revelation is a river coming out of the throne of God. And this river is making glad all the people of God in Revelation. So we have a starred river was making glad all the garden. Then we have the same river coming out from the throne of God. But even in the rest of the Bible, we have many examples. Like God the Father has been revealed as water, as a river. Jeremiah 2:13, God the Son has been revealed as that living water too. He was just sitting with that lady and saying, give me water. And she was like, well. And he said, I can give you water and you will not be thirsty anymore. Jesus is that living water. So the same living water that here refers to this river, the streams make glad the city of God, it's referred to God. God is the only one. And we have the example in Genesis and we have the example in Revelation. And we have all the other examples how the Holy Spirit in John 7:38 is revealed as water too inside of us. So the only joy, the only thing that can come to us and can make us glad is just God. In the middle of everything, and we see the examples here before verses 2 and 3, how everything can be so going really bad. Now he's going to say the only way that the people of God can be really happy is through God. There's no other way that we can just relax or we can just feel like blessed or happy. It's just through God. But why is that? Because he said in verse 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. When you don't fear, then you just go like, oh yes, I know what can happen, but I know that I trust in the Lord. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. That's the church. the place where all of us are going to be really happy, and we will have comfort in God, and we will have refuge and strength, is just with the people of God. That's the place where God has been saying, in the church, I'm going to bless the people. In the church is where they will know more about me. In the church is where I'm going, where they will see the manifestations of God's grace. Every time we just see like people together, and I hope that for you, for us in Cuba, every time we see new believers just coming and visiting church and just wanting to be part of a local church, we rejoice. Because we see how the Bible describes that. He says, there's joy in the heaven every time a sinner just repents. Every time we just see each one of us and a new person just coming in, our life will just go like really happy. Because the purpose of our life is to see God's glory revealed. And the best way how God can be revealed to us is through salvation of sinners. Sometimes we want to see God revealed to us in a way that this person is talking about abortion. We'd like just in that same minute that he's talking about that, poof, just something come and kill the guy there. Sometimes that's what we want. And if something like that happened, we will go like, now I know there's a God, because, you know, the judgment and this and that. So many times, all of them will just go and continue doing everything they are doing. And things are going to get really bad. Part of why we are Reformed Baptists is because we don't believe in prosperity gospel. And we don't believe that everybody is going to be happy and just everything that we declare is going to happen. That's why we're Reformed Baptists, and that's why we believe in God on the way that the Bible teaches us that He is. Because we are not that. We don't think that everything that we're going to declare is going to happen. It's just if God's providence wanted or if He just have a plan. But the only place that God is going to make glad the city of God is just in the church. God is in the midst of her. God is with us. She shall not be moved. The church will never prevail. The church will never be forsaken. The church will never go away. The church is always going to be there because the church belongs to God. He is in the midst of the church. He is in the middle of the church. He is with us. Now he's going to tell us what is going to happen with the nations. The nations raged, the kingdom totter. He uttered his voice, the earth melt. We know what happened every time, and when I was coming through Nicaragua and those places, I see all of these big, volcanoes? So you see all of that just there, and how they have fire, and they start bringing all of this lava outside. What would happen if you just start looking that lava is just coming all the road here and it's coming? He's saying that's what is going on those days. When they wrote these Psalms, I don't know why they put things so complicated. If we just, with small problems, we think that God is really away from us. He's putting all of this so complicated. But it's because of that, just to show the power and where God promised to us that He is going to be. He is going to be with us even in these really worst situations. The nations today are just trying to attack the church. The nations today are trying to stop the work of God. The nations today are trying to battle against everything that the Bible prohibits. That's what is going on today. Everything is like against the church. And we sometimes think, where is God in all of this? And that is a question that many of us sometimes, at some period of our time, we have been thinking like, Where's God on this? Verse number 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. Where's God? Is with us. Sometimes we don't want to see God in the middle of our problems, in the middle of all our necessities. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And he's given now here a person. Now at the time of just going and reading all of this, when we just go and think about Jacob, just think about his story, everything that he went through. Just imagine if we were just going to be on the Old Testament. I always tell people, like, today is really easy to be a Christian. In the Old Testament, it was really complicated. There was a lot of things that people on those days, they need to do. Sacrifices and this and that. Today, people don't want to go to Christ, to go to the church. Do you imagine if you, every time you sin, you need to go and get something, a pigeon, and just go and bring it there and make a sacrifice and this and that? I think that will be our daily bread. We will not have any work to do. We just only will be like, okay, get in here, this pigeon, go there, sacrifice, okay, go again outside, sin again, return with another piece, and everything like that. That will be our daily thing. The good news for us today is that we have just praying to God, and that will be the forgiveness of our sin. We just have Christ just there, right there. We don't need to go to try to find anything else. Everything is just there. Just pray to God. He's just there. Because God is with us. Verse 8. Come. Behold the works of the Lord. When I just go into that part, and I just see that verse there, every time he just go and say, come and see the works of the Lord, I'm like, I can go and read everything in the Old Testament every time that God was doing something. And I always see the response of the people after God was doing something. And just sometimes I just write small parts of examples. One of them is the people of God were looking everything in Egypt. Moses went and delivered them and brought them there. When they just got in front of the Red Sea, they turned to Moses and said, did you bring us here to die? Well, you were facing bigger problems when you were in Egypt. Now you are just, because you are in front of the Red Sea, now you are going to start thinking that God is bringing there just to kill you there? Don't you know who is God and that he is with you? All of them just went. Moses prayed to God, raised his hand, the Red Sea opened. They crossed. And everybody was just looking how all of these cars from the Egypt people were just collapsed inside of the Red Sea. This is like when here says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. Just have that in mind. Just have that thing. How is to be standing in a hill just looking the waters and how everything gets destroyed by the power of God. Jesus conquered at the cross death, and he conquers everything, and everything was put under his feet. And if we know that, it's like the same God from the Old Testament is the same God from the New Testament, and it's the same Christ who go into heaven and say, I'm sitting next to the Father, and I'm interceding for you. So come and see the works, how I brought desolation in the earth. Christ is the one conquering everything for us. And he has been doing more than just putting the cars into the Red Sea. But even even the people at the Red Sea, they saw all of that. Just they went and continued, and they were really happy. And they didn't walk enough, and they were just again talking against God. Because part of our problem and our nature is that we would like to be in charge and do not let God to be in charge. Because sometimes we do not know a lot about who is God. So the more you know about God, and that's the importance of coming together every Sunday. Every Sunday the Word of God is preached. And that's the importance of coming. We come, we know more about God. Every time we preach the Word of God, more about God is revealed to us. There's no other way that God is going to be revealed to us. We have it on national revelation, and we see everything, and we know that behind all of that is God. But how many people just look at that and know that there is a God because of that? We need to know more about God just because of the special revelation that is the way that God revealed himself through the scripture. Verse 9, he makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shattered the spear. He burned the chariots with fire. Verse 10, and here was where I just bring you from verse 1 and 2. I bring you to verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God is going to be exalted. No matter if you want it or not, he is going to be exalted. Because he is God. And he is going to fulfill his plan. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When I was studying to be a teacher, one of the things that I remember is that one of the classes, they said, okay, when you want your teachers, when you want your kids to know something really important, you repeat it always two or three times. And all of you have been at school, or if you're homeschool kids, every time you want them to get something really clear, I don't know why, but we open our eyes and we go like, this is really important, or you just go like this and this and this. I don't know why we open the eyes, but we try everybody to know that, like, this is really important. This is the way here. He repeats the same now here again. So this is a really important statement that he just wanted to let us know. And he's just drawing the attention to us, into this last verse again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is with us. Christ came. He died at the cross. And as soon as they bury him, all the disciples went like, well, all of this is over. Let's just retire and let's go away. They thought that, well, we put him inside. That's everything is over. But then he rose again from the death. And then he went there and he was with them. But then when he was ascending to heaven, he said, but you are not going to be alone. I will give you the Holy Spirit that is going to be with you forever. One of the biggest promises of the gospel is that Christ died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, but the Holy Spirit is with us. We are not alone. And that's why the more we know about God, the more that we just can go to verse number 1, God is very important for us to know who God is and learn about all his attributes. Our refuge and strength, a present help, is a help today. Therefore, we will not fear. And that's the more important part. The same God that was with Jacob, the same God who was in the Old Testament with all of these saints, the same God that came into earth, and that's our biggest promise. Christ will not let us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and he's just there next to the Father. interceding for us in all in everything that we can think about. He knows everything, even when we don't tell him. He knows even one of, I don't have a lot of hair here, but he knows all of them. And he knows everything that is going wrong with us. That's why one of the biggest things for us, and all of this sermon is more for me than probably for all of you. One of the biggest things for us when we are in Cuba and in other places is that we know that there's God, and he has people all over the world. And all of these people are one church united through Christ. He purchased all of us together just in Christ. And that's why we can pray to God, and God will accomplish all his plan through his church. And that's why I'm really happy to be here with you this morning, just to know that the same God who is with us in Cuba is with you here today. And the same God who is helping us in Cuba is helping all of you here too. And the same God who is making us glad there in Cuba is making glad this city of the living God. Because God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Father, we come in front of your presence and we're amazed in the way that you revealed yourself to us in the scripture. Help us to understand more about you and to know you better. Every time we just hear the word of God preached, and every time you revealed yourself to us, help us to gather and to continue praying and knowing that you are with us forever. Thank you for being with us, sending the Holy Spirit, and thank you for sustaining and taking care of your church. We give you thanks for everything that you're doing all over the world, and our hope is just only in you. In Jesus' name, amen.